Welcome to the Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Mem Tes. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yannai said that tefillin require the one who wears it to have a guf naki, a clean body, like the standards of Elisha Balkanafayim, the winged one. He was called Elisha Balkanafayim because of the miracle that occurred when he was chased by a Roman officer during the times when one caught wearing tefillin would have his brain gouged out. Elisha took off his tefillin and covered them with his hands, and when asked what was in his hands, Elisha responded that he was holding dove wings. A miracle occurred and dove wings appeared. Elisha chose dove wings specifically because the Jewish people are likened to a dove in that just as dove wings protect the bird, the mitzvahs we perform protect us. Point number two. The next Mishnah states that one may insulate with animal hides, shlachim, on Erev Shabbos, and whether having insulated with them or not, one may move them on Shabbos. Rabbi Yonasan Bar Elazar said that it seems logical that the Mishnah is referring to the hides of a Baal Bais, literally a homeowner, one who has no plans to sell his hides, who doesn't care if they get dirty, and therefore they're considered fit for sitting on, and therefore they're not muksa. However, those belonging to an uman, literally a craftsman, one who plans on selling his hides, are muksa, since a craftsman plans on selling them, and therefore he does care about getting them dirty, and because of that, they're not considered fit for sitting on, and therefore they are muksa. Rabbi Hanina Bar Chama said that Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, would say that his father was a professional tanner, and he would have his hides brought out to sit on. So we see from this that even a tanner, one who plans on selling his hides, is not particular about people sitting on his hides. And point number three, the Gemara introduces a discussion regarding what the Lametes Malachas, what the 30 Malachas of Shabbos correspond to. Rabbi Chinina Bar Chama said the Malachas are Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. They correspond to the labors needed to build the Mishkan. Rabbi Yonas and Bar Rabbi Elazar said they correspond to the 39 times the words Malacha, Malachto, and Maleches appear in the Torah. So once again, let's review. Point number one, Rabbi Yannai said that tefillin required the one who wears it to have a guf naki, a clean body, like the standards of Elisha Balkanafayim, the winged one. He was called Elisha Balkanafayim because of the miracle that occurred when he was chased by a Roman officer during the times when one caught wearing tefillin would have his brain gouged out. Elisha took off his tefillin and covered them with his hands, and when asked what was in his hands, Elisha responded that he was holding dove wings. A miracle occurred and dove wings appeared. Elisha chose dove wings specifically because the Jewish people are likened to a dove, a Yonah, and that just as dove wings protect the bird, the mitzvahs we perform protect us. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that one may insulate with animal hides, shlachin, on Erev Shabbos, and whether having insulated with them or not, one may move them on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yonas and Bar Elazar said that it seems logical that the Mishnah is referring to the hides of a Baal Bais, literally a homeowner, one who has no plans to sell his hides, who doesn't care if they get dirty, and therefore they're considered fit for sitting on, and therefore they're not muksa. However, those belonging to an uman, literally a craftsman, one who plans on selling his hides, they are muksa since a craftsman plans on selling them, and therefore he does care about them getting dirty, and because of that, they are not considered fit for sitting on, and therefore they are muksa. Rabbi Hanina Bar Chama said that Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, would say that his father was a professional tanner, and he would have his hides brought out to sit on. So we see from this that even a tanner, one who plans on selling his hides, is not particular about people sitting on his hides. And point number three, the Gemara introduces a discussion regarding what the 39 malachas, what the Lametes malachas of Shabbos correspond to. Rabbi Hanina Bar Chama said the malachas are Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. They correspond to the labors needed to build the Mishkan. Rabbi Yonas and Bar Rabbi Elazar said they correspond to the 39 times the words Malacha, Malachto, and Malachas appear in the Torah. All right, so now we go to our simon. So the simon from Memtes is meat, and we use a butcher in this one, a butcher. So here goes. Winged doves flew over the holy butcher wearing tefillin, who invited his customers to come sit down on his hides so he could teach them about the Lametes Malachos. Once again, in slow motion. Winged doves flew over the holy butcher. Butcher, that means we're on Duff Memtes. Winged doves flew over the holy butcher wearing tefillin, which reminds us, Rabbi Yannai said that tefillin required the one who wears it to have a guf naki, a clean body, like the standards of Elisha Balkanafayim, the winged one. He was called Elisha Balkanafayim because of the miracle that occurred when he was chased by a Roman officer during the times when one caught wearing tefillin would have his brain gouged out. Elisha took off his tefillin and covered them with his hands, and when asked what was in his hands, Elisha responded that he was holding dove wings. A miracle occurred and dove wings appeared. Elisha chose dove wings specifically because the Jewish people are likened to a dove in that just as dove wings protect the bird, the mitzvahs we perform protect us. So winged doves flew over the holy butcher wearing tefillin, who invited his customers to come sit down on his hides, which reminds us of the next Mishnah state that one may insulate with animal hide shlachin on Erev Shabbos, and whether having insulated with them or not, one may move them on Shabbos. Rabbi Yonas and Bar Elazar said that it seems logical that the Mishnah is referring to the hides of a Baal Bais, literally a homeowner, who has no plans to sell his hides, who doesn't care if they get dirty, and therefore they're considered fit for sitting on, and therefore they're not muksa. However, those belonging to an uman, literally a craftsman, one who plans on selling his hides, are muksa, since the craftsman plans on selling them, and therefore he does care about getting them dirty, and because of that, they're not considered fit for sitting on, and therefore they're muksa. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama said that Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, would say that his father was a professional tanner, and he would have his hides brought out to sit on. So we see from this that even a tanner, one who plans on selling his hides, is not particular about people sitting on his hides. So winged doves, who over the holy butcher wearing tefillin, who invited his customers to come sit down on his hides, so he could teach them about the Lamates Malachas. Which reminds us, the Gemara introduces a discussion regarding what the 39 Malachas of Shabbos correspond to. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama said the Malachas are connected avodas haMishkan. They correspond to the labors needed to build the Mishkan. Rabbi Yonas and Bar Rabbi Lazar said they correspond to the 39 times the words Malach, Malachta, Maleches appear in the Torah. So once again, winged doves, who were the holy butcher wearing tefillin, who invited his customers to come sit down on his hides so he could teach them about the Lamates Malachos. All right, now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Mem Hei. So the sim for Mem Hei is Monopoly, Monopoly game. So here goes. The Monopoly game, that means we're on Daf Mem Hei. Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat. Which reminds us that Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan if Rabbi Shimon hold that wheat that one planted in the ground or eggs that were placed under a hen would be considered muksa since they were dachi b'yadayim, they were actively set aside. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that according to Rabbi Shimon, nothing useful is muksa on the basis of having been set aside except that which is similar to the oil in a Shabbos lamp while it's burning. Hoyel v'huksa l'mitzvaso huksa l'isuro. Since the oil was set aside for a mitzvah, it was only set aside for the duration of the prohibition of the mitzvah, meaning as long as the lamp burns. The act of setting aside the wheat in the ground or placing the egg under the hen alone does not make a muksa. So the Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes, not fit for consumption, which reminds us Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no food that is muksa on the basis of being set aside other than figs and grapes that were set out to dry before Shabbos and have not yet dried out completely. Rashi explains that once the figs and grapes begin to bake in the sun, they're no longer fit for consumption, and therefore Rabbi Shimon concedes that they become muksa. Other foods that are somewhat edible do not become muksa, according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes not fit for consumption and suddenly dropped dead. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas whether Rabbi Shimon holds that an animal that died on Shabbos is muksa. According to Mar Bar Amemar in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon concedes to Rabbi Yehuda that healthy animals which died on Shabbos are prohibited since the owner did not have a mind that the animal might die on Shabbos, in which case he could feed the carcass to his dogs. According to Mar, the son of Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda even here and permitted use of the healthy animals that died on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, the healthy animal was never actively rejected from being used for dog food upon its death. Daf Mem Vav, so the symbol for Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes, the cow, that means we're on Daf Mem Vav. The cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth, which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies the Malchokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding moving large menorahs that require both hands to move, and small menorahs that only require one hand to move. They both agree that it's prohibited to move a large or small menorah if it's made of sections, chulios, and are concerned that if it fell apart, one would come to reassemble it and be liable for the malacha of Maku Bapatish, the final hammer blow. They also agree that a large menorah that has grooves is prohibited to move because someone might come to confuse it with a large menorah that has sections. They disagree regarding small menorahs with grooves. Rav Yochanan says the Rabban decreed they should not be moved as well. Reish Lakish says the Rabban did not decree that they should not be moved since small menorahs are usually made of one piece, so people won't come to think that a grooved one is sectional. So the cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth kicked a naphtha lamp that was being used to cover a utensil, which reminds us Rav Avi explained to Rava that the reason why Rava and Rav Yosef permitted moving a naphtha lamp on Shabbos, even though nothing can be placed inside it because it became repugnant, is that the lamp can still be used to cover a utensil. The difference between the naphtha lamp and scattered stones in the courtyard that can also be used to cover utensils but are nevertheless muksa is that the naphtha lamp has Torah's Kliyolea. It has the status of a vessel and therefore does not become muksa as long as it can be used for some function. The stones, on the other hand, never had Torah's Kli Alel, never had the status of a vessel, and therefore they're intrinsically muksa. So the cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth kicked the naphtha lamp that was being used to cover a utensil, which then hit a bechor on Yantav, causing a blemish, which no one had ever anticipated. Which reminds us, Abai pointed out a seeming contradiction in Rabbi Shimon, who permits the use of the leftover oil in a lamp or a bowl on Shabbos, but does not permit the slaughtering of Bechor on Yantiv, whose blemish, his mum, was not detected prior to Yantiv. Rav explained that in the case of the oil, a person waits and anticipates the moment when his lamp will go out, and he'll be able to use the oil. Even though the oil was not available at Banish Shmashos, it becomes permissible when the moment arrives, according to Rabbi Shimon. In the case of the Bechor, it cannot be said that a person anticipates the arrival of a blemish to permit him to eat it. Even if a blemish comes, who's to say that it will develop a permanent blemish? And even if it develops a permanent blemish, who's to say that an expert, a mumcha, will come to inspect it? Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says the Bechor remains muksa. Daf Mem Zayin. So the symbol for Mem Zayin is a maze. A maze. So here goes. The contestants ran through the maze. Maze. That means we're on Daf Mem Zayin. The contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who quotes Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, as permitting one to move a pan which is not muksa, even if there are ashes on it which are muksa. This seems to contradict a statement from Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere, which implied that if a basket only contained a stone, then it would become a basis l'dava aser, a base to a prohibited object, and therefore be muksa. So why is the pan with the leftover ashes not considered a basis l'dava aser? Rav explains that Rebbe permitted the pan to be moved because the ashes had been anticipated for later use to cover dirt, and therefore the ashes were not muksa. Rebbe's chiddush was that it was permitted to move the pan with the non-muksa ashes, even if there were muksa pieces of wood in it as well. So the contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, with sparks flying everywhere, which reminds us, the final mission of the Perek permits placing a vessel under a lamp on Shabbos to catch the falling sparks. The Gemara asks, why is it permissible to do this, given that the falling sparks would make the vessel under the lamp a basis to muksa, and would therefore be a case of mevatakli mehechano, nullifying the preparedness of a vessel? Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yehuda, answers that nitzotzos ein behen mamish, sparks have no substance, and therefore the vessel is not considered a basis to them. So the contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, with sparks flying everywhere, searching for the pile of olive gephas to place them on, which radiates heat upwards. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the fourth parak forbids insulating pots before Shabbos with substances that add heat, that are mostly helpful to the food. One of the substances mentioned is gephas, a certain type of pulp. The Gemara wants to clarify if gephas is referring to olive gephas, whose heat is relatively intense, but sesame gephas, which is less intense, would be permitted to insulate with, or perhaps the mission is referring to sesame gephas, and all the more so olive gephas would be prohibited. A statement from Rabbi Zera that prohibited placing a box of insulated food on top of olive gephas was brought to prove that only olive gephas increases the heat of what it is insulating. It's mosif hevel. The Gemara rejects this proof by saying that sesame gephas also increases heat, but it's just not strong enough to radiate heat upwards to the food on top of it like olive gephas can. Daf Memches. So the symbol for Memches is a brain moach, and we use brainiacs. So here goes. The brainiacs, that means we're on Daf Memches. The brainiacs were busy testing the expensive mochin fibers as insulation, which reminds us, Rav Adar Bar Masna asked Abai a question about mochin, expensive unprocessed wool that's generally used to produce felt and is therefore considered muksa. He wanted to know if mochin that were used to insulate food Erev Shabbos can be moved on Shabbos. In other words, does the fact that he's now using it for hatmana demonstrate that he's now permanently using it for hatmana and not for felt, and therefore it's no longer considered muksa? Abai answered that just because the person didn't have a box of cheap straw handy for insulating does not mean that he's renouncing a valuable box of mochin. Therefore, the mochin still remains muksa. So the brainiacs were busy testing the expensive mochin fibers as insulation and pillow stuffing, which reminds us, Rav Chisda taught that one can return stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. He did not consider this a violation of Makkah B'Patish. The Gemara asked from Rav Chisda from a brisa that says it's prohibited to place stuffing into a pillow on Yantav and even more so on Shabbos. The Gemara answered that Rav Chisda was referring to returning stuffing to an old pillow, meaning a pillow that was already stuffed. This isn't considered fashioning a new pillow. The Brice, on the other hand, was referring to new pillows, meaning placing stuffing in pillows that had never been stuffed, which is considered fashioning them into a pillow, which would be forbidden. So the brainiacs were busy testing the expensive mochin fibers as insulation and pillow stuffing. Proudly wearing their new white lab shirts with neck openings, were able to open up all on their own. Which reminds us, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, the one who opens up a neck opening in a garment for the first time on Shabbos is liable to bring a chatas because he violated the malach of Makkah B'Patish. Rav Kahana challenges from a brisa that permitted one to lop off the top of a sealed barrel with a sword in order to open up a barrel to use its contents. So Rabbi answered Rav Kahana, Zechibur v'zeinechibur. The material of the shirt is bonded while the lid of the barrel is not considered bonded to the barrel. Rashi explains that although the lid of the barrel was cemented onto the barrel, It was done with the intention to eventually remove the lid. Therefore, it's not considered bonded, and cutting it open is not deemed creating a new vessel. As opposed to this, in the case of making a neck opening in a garment, the material is completely attached, and therefore, by making a neck opening, one would be liable for makom b'patish. All right, so now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Which daf do we learn the difference between olive and sesame gefes? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 2. Where do we learn what the 39 malachos correspond to? That's on daf Mem Tes. Good. Number 3. Where do we learn the concept that something set aside at Banish Shmashos remains muktzeh for all of Shabbos? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 4. What are we talking about moving a pan with ashes? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 5. What do we learn about Elisha Balkanafim and then one should wear his tefillin with a goof naki? That's on daf Mem Tes. Good. Number 6. Where do the question Rabbi Shimon holds that the act of setting aside wheat or eggs makes them muksa if he's dachi bedaim? That's on daf Mem Hey, good. Number 7, where do we discuss pouring cold water into a cleared kettle? That's on daf Mem Olaf, good. Number 8, where do we learn what the din is of a bed that was verbally designated to store money? That's on daf Mem Dalad, good. Number 9, where do we learn the concept of moving a naphtha lamp after it went out because it had tore his kliyalea? That's on daf Mem Vav, good. Number 10, where did the question, if mochin used for hatmana, is no longer considered muksa? That's on daf Memches. Great, now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, where do we have the malchokas regarding the origins of the 3 tefilos? That's on daf Chavav. Good. Number 2, which daf do we discuss when to bow during Shmon Esrei? That's on daf Lamedal. Good. And number 3, what are the list of things which are considered a 60th of something else? That's on daf Nun Zayin. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.